I'd like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, breakthrough and praise your way out. Breakthrough and praise your way out. The Bible tells us that our walk with God is going to be a journey of ups and downs. We are continually moving from strength to strength, victory to victory, glory to glory. However, in between the mountaintops of victory, there are the valleys of the shadow of death. In between the victories, there are struggles. In between the breakthroughs, there are battles. I've often heard it said, at every new level, there is a new devil. And right at the point of that breakthrough, there is a battle to be fought. It is the job of the enemy to get us to turn back. We just sang, we're no turning back, right? But it is the job of the enemy to get us to turn back when the struggle gets tough. It is the job of the enemy to get us to surrender during the weeping of the night so that we will never experience the joy of the morning. It's the job of the enemy to get us to surrender during the battle, to give up, to throw in the towel so that we will never experience that breakthrough. Now, in order to experience this breakthrough, this breaking through that situation, there has to be a shift in the atmosphere. There has to be a change in your world. There has to be some organized chaos that will take place. And I know that the chaos in your life may not seem to be organized. But Isaiah 43 and 19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." You see, some things in your life must change, and a new order must exist to allow you to break through. So in essence, this change that is taking place in your life, the havoc that you are experiencing in your life, is equipping you to penetrate the enemy's defense. It is preparing you to break through. For Jeremiah 29 and 11 states, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So God is beginning to set the stage for some new things to happen in our lives, in our church, a new order. God is letting us know that he has not forgotten us, that he has heard our prayers. He has seen our tears. He has felt our pain. And now it is time to implement his plan for us. As we examine our text, imagine this. You're heading for destiny, moving with confidence in the right direction. Suddenly, you're distracted by something demanding your attention. But when you stop to attend to the matter, your path is altered forever. Well, such was the case with Paul and Silas. In the 16th chapter of Acts, en route to a prayer meeting, they were going to church, y'all. They were going to church. They met a fortune teller who was rebuked by Paul because of her mockery of him and Silas as men of God. Paul commanded the evil spirit to come out of her, and the girl was set free. However, she was a slave, and because her masters were no longer able to profit from her psychic powers, they had Paul and Silas thrown into jail. They were just on their way to church. The ministry duo was suddenly thrust from prayer to prison. Think about that. On your way to what God has for you, there's a detour in your well-constructed plan. A transition from your well-constructed plan to God's divine plan. This detour, although painful, are common in our life, in the life of every believer. But what do you do when you're passing from one season in life to another? What do you do when it's 11:59 p.m., almost midnight in your life? Well, there is a three-step process during transition. There is burden, there is birthing, and then there's breakthrough. So first comes burden. On their way to jail, Paul and Silas were dragged into the marketplace to face the authorities. Even the crowds participated in their humiliation. They were beaten, they were stripped, and they were thrown in prison. But you know what? They were not alone. Life's transitions may leave you feeling attacked. You may feel beaten and stripped of your spiritual and your personal dreams. It may seem as though layers of divine protection has disappeared. But I'm here to let you know that this stripping simply means God is taking off the old and exposing you to new life, new assignment, new order. Now, after the burden comes the birthing. God is molding us into his image. Jeremiah 18:6 says, "Can I not do with Israel as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand." Let me make this live for you. Think of a muscle. Have you ever had a really good workout, but the next morning you felt sore? Anybody? I need to work out, but I'm afraid of that soreness. Oh my goodness. I remember in college, my roommate, she was like, "Debbie, let's go work out." I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna go work out with you." She had me doing all this stuff with weights and everything. I was so sore that my arms were stuck like this the next morning. I could not move them. I think she overworked my muscles. But your muscles were in a breakdown stage. And this is critical. Without it, the muscles cannot rebuild themselves. Muscles become stronger through a three-step process. So first you have stress. Force that is exerted upon the muscle, causing your muscle to strain. Then there's recovery, a period of inactivity after work or exertion. And then repeated stress, more force exerted upon the muscle, causing it to strain again. So when you're there working out, and you're lifting up the weights, and then there's always a period of rest before you go and do your next repetition. So it's stress, rest, more stress in order to build up your muscles. We as Christians must go through the same process. The birthing process is a painful process in the natural, one of which I know too well. I've had some mothers tell me that after the baby is here, you'll forget all about the pain. My baby is 14 years old, and trust me when I tell you, I remember the pain as if it was yesterday. Do I have any mothers in here that can identify? Amen. That birthing process is no joke. I was in so much pain. And my friend, she said to me, Debbie, if you don't get in this car right now, you're going to have that baby right here in this parking lot. But I was in so much pain. So think about it. When God is birthing us, we have to experience pain. So during this transition period, God is birthing some things in us and preparing us for our breakthrough. Now, if the birthing process is painful in the natural, then you know it is going to be painful in the spiritual. That's why the Bible lets us know many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. So it doesn't matter what we go through. God will deliver us, but we have to go through the pain. We have to cry sometimes. We have to be depressed sometimes. We have to be broke sometimes. We have to be confused sometimes. Because if we've never experienced anything, how will we know that we serve an awesome God that can deliver us? Amen. Sometimes God has to cause us to be sick, a condition in our bodies, in order for us to come to him. Because any other time you might not pray unto God. But now that you are sick and you're saying, God, I need you. When things are going well, there's no problems, nothing. We're whistling Dixie. We may forget to pray because things are going well. The majority of the times when we pray is when we have trouble, when we have problem, when we have sickness. When we are in a situation that we can't get out of, and that's what God uses to help us to draw close. So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. And also, see, sometimes you go through some things in life so that you can be a witness for someone else. You've got to share the gospel. You got to share how God healed you. You were sick on your deathbed, but God raised you up. You didn't have any money. You didn't have any food, but God made a way. Someone just knocked on your door and delivered some food to you. You were down to your last dime and you go to the mailbox and next thing you know, you have a check. God works just like that. And then you'll go and share it with someone else. Put your trust in God. As we look at the text, we know that it was humiliating enough for Paul and Silas to suffer. But why did the crowd have to participate? Our transitions are often similar. It is not enough to suffer in silence or privacy. Oh, but I know that it seems as though that God chooses those broken moments to put us on display. But I know if I suffer with him, I will reign with him. So I'm going to deal with the pain. Yes, I'm going to deal with the disappointment. Yes, I'm going to deal with the hurt. Yes, I'm going to deal with the humiliation because I know my breakthrough is near. Once you break through, it won't matter what your situation looked like. Once you break through, the lies that they told won't matter. Once you break through, everything will fall into perspective. That's why the Bible says, he prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Breakthrough. Somebody needs to hear this. Breakthrough. your deliverance. Breakthrough, your healing. Breakthrough is on the way. Paul and Silas were confined to prison, but at about midnight, perhaps it was 11:59, their confinement birthed their true assignment, prayer and praise. In the midst of confinement, this is the key. In the midst of the confinement, they blessed the Lord. You see, lasting change is birthed out of pain and often filled with isolation. But there's no better time to feel God's presence than during your 11:59 experience. During these times, you must take out your spiritual weapon, praise. Praise is a spiritual weapon. For the Bible says, for the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise is your weapon. Praise and worship ushers us into the presence of God. It draws God's attention to us, and it establishes a protective spiritual covering over us. It is a way to humble ourselves before God and invite God's assistance into whatever we are facing. This is why you see churches set up praise and worship teams. For praise and worship is how you usher in the presence of God. This is how you create an atmosphere that is conducive for God to perform miracles. As you sing unto the Lord and you lift up your hands, you tell the Lord how much you love him, how much you adore him. God, I surrender everything to you and I lift up your name. As you sing to the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, you will begin to feel the presence of God overshadowing you. Some people respond differently. Some people will cry. Some people will just sway back and forth. Some people will bow down. That's why there's different expressions of praise. Because when the Spirit of the Lord comes in, you will move how you feel. And you won't worry about who's looking at you. So that's why it's important sometimes that we allow God to come in. Set the atmosphere. Can you imagine how beautifully the choir was singing? If we could all join in. And then we just stand and we lift our hands. And we already know that this church can sing. Amen. Right? We have singers in this place. But can you imagine all of us with that one voice? Ooh, I'm getting chills now. That one voice. Singing to the Lord how much we love you. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet. And then we transition into, we exalt thee. We exalt thee. We do that, we create an atmosphere for God to come in and lift our burdens, to connect with us, and we feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to feel the presence of the Lord. We want the Lord to reign and rule in this place. So it's that praise and worship that will help usher us into that. Because when we come into church, we have all kinds of things running through our minds. Something may have happened early this morning that got on your last nerve.
Not today.
But it changes how you react in church. You're upset. Or maybe you worked all night long and you said, you know, I'm going to run to church. It's only going to be an hour. I pray that Pastor Debbie don't go past 20 minutes. But I'll be all right. But I'm tired. Or maybe your body is aching. But I'm going to press through. I'm going to just go into church, but I don't feel like doing nothing. Oh, I don't feel like hearing all this. But then when you start singing unto the Lord and you forget about all that stuff, that's why we pray before we do the sermon. So that whatever's hindering you, whatever's bothering you, God can come in and just push it aside. And you can hear the word of Lord and receive it. So in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of whatever you're going through, praise God for who God is. Think about what God has done for you in the past. And in spite of how you feel or what you see, praise God for God's promises. For your worship will promote stability and assurance. And the last piece is the breakthrough. Hallelujah, it's the breakthrough. I'm ready for breakthrough. The swiftness and surety of deliverance starts with how you respond to hard times and difficult situations. It is not just enough to thank God and honor God only when you receive a blessing. God wants you to show the extent of your faithfulness and trust him even in the midst of going through a challenge. The power of your praise will determine the magnitude of your breakthrough. Praise is not just clapping your hands or applauding God, but it is showing respect, honor, gratefulness, using your whole heart, mind, spirit, and body despite your circumstance. Paul and Silas didn't wait until they experienced a breakthrough to praise and thank God. In the midst of difficult circumstances, they praised God and received the breakthrough they desired. Paul and Silas, prayer and praise. Their prayer and their praise caused tremors in the realm of darkness. Suddenly, a violent earthquake shook the building and the doors were open. If I could use my sanctified imagination for a moment, I can visualize Paul and Silas. Can y'all see Paul and Silas in the jail? I want y'all to visualize this. Paul and Silas, they're in the jail. And they begin praying and singing unto the Lord. Right? God is so pleased that God begins to tap his foot to the sound. This is my imagination. That's not in the Bible. Just want to let you know. This is my imagination of what happened. Right? So they're singing and praising. God is tapping his foot, right? Hallelujah. God is so pleased. And since the heaven is God's throne and the earth is God's footstool, when he began to tap his foot to their praise, that's when the earthquake began to happen. Hallelujah. And the door shook open. Praise the Lord. Paul and Silas praised God, even though their backs were bleeding and their feet and their hands were in chains. Despite the pain and suffering they were going through, they praised God anyway. As a result, God shook the very foundation of the prison, setting them free. God will shake the foundation of your prison. God will shake the foundation of your bondage. God will shake the foundation of your problem, whatever it is. If you make a decision to praise and give God thanks, no matter what, hallelujah. Explosive breakthroughs will come in your life as you continue to lift up the name of Jesus. Breakthrough brings the favor of God on your life, which releases God's plans for you. Soon your doors will swing open, the chains will fall off, and those standing by will marvel at your life. When we become a testimony of God's faithfulness during painful transitions, not only are we blessed, but others will observe our breakthroughs and will be touched by our release. Desperation will prompt them to be like the jailer and ask them, what must I do to be saved? The passage in Acts concludes with the jailer restoring Paul and Silas as the magistrate sent word to release them. Likewise, God can cause the same people or situation that imprisoned you to bless you. The storms of life, they are going to come. But don't let them disturb your peace. Don't let them affect your thoughts and your emotions. Because this will only move you into self-pity and frustration. Instead, maintain an attitude of praise. Your first line of defense is the Word of God. Meditate on the word of God and give it life by speaking it over your situation. If you need healing, meditate on scriptures that reveal God's ability to heal. Receive the word in your spirit and then begin praising God for your healing. The word of God declares, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you are in a situation, as we close, and there seems to be no way out, open your mouth and praise the Lord and don't stop. Instead of crying and complaining, give God praise, because you know God's plan for you includes deliverance, restoration, and peace. Thank God for his goodness, and your praise will stop the enemy and move the hand of God. When your deliverance comes, continue to praise God, because God has more in store for you. So remember, when the clock strikes 11:59 p.m., know that it is time to rejoice, whether you are in a period of burden or birthing. Remember that explosive breakthroughs are born around midnight. That is the word for this morning. Amen.